Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We do this every Thursday at 1 o'clock from whichever pluckers we're at. And it's our good buddy KT Funtweets who gets us ready for the Sunday Cowboys game with a little something called KT's Cowboys Packers Red Band Trailer Preview.
If you don't know what a red band trailer is, it means it's like it's the version that's not free for kids. But still all kids can hear this version because we're on the radio in the FCC.
Did that help you at all?
No. The general idea of this segment was to have a lot of audio elements from years past involved, but things happened. So here's what's going on now.
Like what?
We're going to start off with connections to this game. One reason Michael Gallup might be wanting to play in this game, maybe, I'm not saying he's expediting the process. We'll see if he plays. It's still out there, but I'm not saying he wouldn't be ready to play. But a member of the Packers offensive staff is one of Michael Gallup's mentors, Alvis Whitted, over at Colorado State. That's one of his role models. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very cool connection to this game. Also very interesting, Joe Looney's little brother is on the Packers practice squad.
Is that really true?
So I kind of thought, do brothers like text stuff? Is it just like moral code? You don't ask? One guy plays offense, one guy plays defense. Maybe you can learn a little bit about the other team. Does that type of thing? And I was thinking about that in conjunction with the Cowboys bringing in Josh Jones, the Packers cut after training camp, and Josh Jones is on their practice squad. Okay. I wonder if those conversations happen.
No, they don't happen. Because what is the upside there for Joe Looney to tell young brother Looney something that helps him as the practice squad guy?
Well, I would look at it this way. James Looney does not have a future in the NFL. He will just be a practice squad guy.
So no offense. Joe
could benefit.
Okay, so Joe, but Joe is also not going to play.
But he might.
You'll see.
For what reason?
Lyle Collins did not practice today.
Right, and he is not in the mix.
Your swing tackle this week is Connor Williams. Your backup swing tackle this week, if Lyle plays, your backup swing tackle this week is Zach Martin, most likely.
Right.
Which would call for Joe Looney to play.
Right. So,
we'll see if Travis can do good.
It's still a long shot. I think that brothers would look at that as selling out. Like, that's not the type of character you want to have, right? Like in the spirit of competition.
With your bros, you keep things to yourself.
It's bros before hoes.
I don't know that. <It's> like, yeah. I don't know that you would be sure. Like, give me an example of what type of information. Hey, if Dak says Kim K, it means it's a screen on the backside.
Well, that's the whole thing is, I guess Joe could be like, hey, what's the Packers practice squad been looking like, James?
Okay, James, now we're getting
somewhere. Some intel. I just wonder, do you talk? How close are Joe and James? Joe said, mentioned to us in interviews before that he'd gone to watch his brother play at California, and then James got drafted by the Packers and is now in their practice squad. But I just wonder, hey, we're playing each other this week. Do we have arrangements? Am I staying at your place? I'm just fascinated by brothers being in the league. And then how that works out for not only the family, also each other. But in this specific scenario, where one of you is an offensive lineman and the other is a defensive lineman, I just feel like you probably tell things to your siblings.
I don't think you do.
If you're close with them.
I don't think you do. Yeah. I think you just back off for the week.
It probably never comes up.
It doesn't come up until after.
They probably just discuss how life's been going. They probably even talk football.
Right.
You ready for that Breaking Bad movie?
Right. Yeah. A lot of El Camino.
You caught up on the Righteous Gemstones?
Yeah, I think it's
stuff
more
like
of that.
Yep. Yeah, probably so. Packers 26th in the NFL in run defense. They're allowing 142 yards per game.
Wow. Guys. Please own that.
Here is basically what I would tell you about the Packers. Last week, after getting gashed by Dalvin Cook and Philip Lindsay 2 weeks in a row, they came out against the Eagles and said, you know what? Screw it. We're going to run a 3-3-5. And then, so basically what would happen is two linebackers on the outside would end up not really doing much, and then it was left to one linebacker to cover 15 yards in the middle of the field. And then once they got past the first level, because they don't have the size on the defensive line, the Eagles were dancing. So I don't get the vibe? I mean, it's hard to know because Mike Pettine is – he's their defensive coordinator for the Packers. He fancies himself as mad scientist guy.
Mike Pettis?
The only way they can win – no, he's the gen guy.
Okay.
Big fan of his. The thing about Mike Pettine that's interesting to me is I don't see them because there's a bit of fan outrage. He's getting killed by the media up there the last couple weeks. I don't see them doing that. I think they will be very aggressive. I'm not saying they're going to stack the box, but I do think Dak will have opportunities down the field to throw that they didn't have last week against the Saints.
Well, I hope that's the case. And then, you know, obviously if Gallup comes back, I think there's a ripple effect there. You know, I thought it was interesting that Hellman said that Cooper was 75% for the first game and has felt better each week, because yeah. I kind of thought the opposite had been the case, that maybe he was going back the other way.
I don't believe anything he says, though, because not that he's lying. I just think that he's so tough. He'll never once use being injured as an excuse.
Yeah. That's fair.
And so I don't really trust what he's saying, and not in a negative way at all. But the thing is, time has gone on by, and you know, the dust has settled on the autopsy for this Saints game. The thing that concerns me most is what Travis Frederick told us. That he thought that the Saints had picked off their signals, I'm paraphrasing, and had figured out when the Cowboys audibled into a run that they audibled into a run blitz. And if because, you know, we've talked about how the safeties were deep, and so they're saying, hey, we dare you to run it. And yeah. Then they had a run blitz on, and they sniffed out every single run. And if that's the case, if there's some tell sign that the Cowboys have given up, that now defenses have caught something on film and they know how to determine when the Cowboys are going to run, that's going to be one of the – I mean, that needs to be fixed.
That's got to be fixed. I tell you what, though, for me, that doesn't bother me as much as how badly the Cowboys got beat up front.
I think that's why they got beat up. Well, it's not the only reason. It's like – I think that's the whole point of what he was saying. They knew the run was coming, and it made it a lot harder to
they
block them.
They looked slow. They looked like they were playing slow.
I saw some clips where they got mauled.
Yeah, they did get
just
mauled.
Just mauled. Now, I didn't break down every play.
The Packers don't have – there's one key player, and he's not a great player by any means. His name is Montrevious Adams. He's missed the last 2 weeks. He's a 325-pound guy, and he's been hurt. But he's practicing this week, and I think he's back. But my whole point of this is the Packers don't have the size or really the talent up front. Kenny Clark's a really good player. But as far as, like, the talent up front, they usually play with three down linemen. They really don't have the talent to stop the run. Like, it's just going to be there. So they're going to have to scheme it. They're going to have to surprise you. And that's why Lyle Collins not practicing today becomes even more – because if you're shuffling guys around mm-hmm. and assignments are getting muddy, you know, that's what I'm more concerned about. Because that's the way the Packers are going to try to beat you defensively, is just by tricking you, bending, not breaking, hope they get a turnover, kind of trust their pass coverage.
And don't you guys think that, I mean, I realize while Lyle Collins sits, Connor Williams out there, don't you think Connor Williams needs the practice time inside?
Yes.
Yes, very much so.
I do. Maybe it gives us a look. I mean, it looks like Connor will start at left guard. Everyone thinks Lyle is going to play. But, again, 2 days of not practicing. And yeah. if Lyle wasn't going to play, it would give you a look at Suofilo at left guard. Maybe you might feel differently about things. Let's talk about the Packers secondary real quick. So, Jaire Alexander is kind of the NFC's version of Jalen Ramsey. He's not on that level yet, but he's a sassy guy. He's a dog. He wants to mix it up with you. He wants to get in your face. He's got one of the greatest gifs of all time where he forces an incompletion and then he leans back and runs around taunting the wide receiver. He's so funny.
Sounds like an Uncle Baby Billy type.
He's a funny guy.
Uncle Baby Billy.
And I'll put it bluntly, you know, my parents, huge Packer fans, he's the guy who will piss my dad off the most when he gets at least one or two personal fouls this year for just one taunting penalty that just didn't need to happen at a bad time. But he's so fun, and he's a legit top five to top eight, you know, cornerback in the league, you could argue. I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
On the other side, Kevin King, who the Cowboys had interest in the year of the taco draft. Now, if I said Kazuntide because someone sneezed, you would immediately see Kevin King on the ground holding something on his body.
Oh, no.
He gets hurt all the time.
That sucks.
And he's hurt his groin and hasn't been practicing. If he doesn't play, that's huge. Because if you go Cooper Gallup and then all of a sudden Kevin King drops out of that equation, advantage Cowboys.
Yeah. All right. Now, you mentioned Uncle Baby Billy from The Righteous Gemstones. My favorite thing about his character, and even if you haven't seen the show on HBO, you can relate to this. It's kind of a Texan thing, I think, a Southern thing.
It really is.
And that is when Uncle Baby Billy talks. He's one of those guys, he's, come on now. He goes, now, get out there now. He uses the word now a lot, which I think is, now, hold on now, hold on now. It's just a reset. When somebody says, hey, hold on now.
Yeah.
You got to go, wait, this is right now. This is happening right now. Everybody stop what you're doing. He's about to really, he's stopping this in its tracks and going to reverse it here to let us know really what's up.
It's the equivalent of an exclamation point.
Right.
The show's so good.
People now, come on now, KT.
Come on now.
Hold on now, KT.
Skin, come on now. Catch
come
up.
Come on now.
All right now.
Now. Hey, now. You got to watch Baby Billy.
Hey, now.
I'm going to show you a new move this week. You know, it's called the backstep stroke.
Now, you can just get on out of here now.
Let's talk about safety. Darnell Savage is a Packers safety. He was ranked number two by both by Daniel Jeremiah on his all-rookie team through 4 weeks. The Packers traded up in the first round from 30 up to 21 to get him. Now, I had heard that the Cowboys had a fifth-round grade on him. Don't know if that's accurate, but it's what I heard.
On which player?
Darnell Savage.
Okay.
So he is – Dane graded him as the safety on his all-rookie team, and Daniel Jeremiah has him as the number two rookie behind Minshew Magic so far. Darnell Savage is awesome. I'm going to read this quote from Mike Pettine real quick. He says, in rookie minicamp, he gave all his players a handful of play calls. And he said Savage got bored about 2 minutes after the meeting, or 2 minutes into the meeting. So they had to have a separate meeting and reinstall the whole defense because Darnell Savage was so far ahead of what they thought.
Wow.
And when I was watching Darnell Savage, he was at Maryland safety. I liked him. I had like a second round grade on him. Liked him okay. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole thing that happened with like Laquon Treadwell from your special. You can't scout how smart a guy is, I think. I think you can to an extent. Uh-huh. But if a guy's like ahead of it, then I don't know. Because that could have been a safety, you know. Maybe the Cowboys. I thought he could have made it to the second round when there was talk of Jonathan Abram talk and things like that. So that's an interesting player to keep an eye on. He's been really good. The secondary's been good for the Packers. Now we go to the offense side. Rodgers targeted Devontae Adams 15 times last week.
Okay? Wow.
I mean, that's his
guy. And they didn't even have him in the final
and
two drives, right?
They didn't have him in the final 9 minutes.
Okay.
They started to utilize Jimmy Graham a little bit, who's huge. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is their second wide receiver. He's 6'3", I believe. Geronimo Allison is the other guy. He's like 6'5", 6'6". Broadus was on with Sean and RJ this morning, and he made a very great point. Because I think the Packers are in trouble if Adams doesn't play, because that's Rodgers' whoopee. But listen to Broadus, what he said with Sean and RJ this morning.
Well, the other weapons, the Valdez Scandling and then Allison, you know, Geronimo Allison, you know, is they're very, very tall receivers. And we saw what happened against Miami when they had to deal with Devontae Parker and the ball going up. And that's where this is where now you have a quarterback that is can accurately throw the ball down the field. He can also put the ball in spots. And if you're having to climb these tall linear receivers all day, you know, Byron Jones is a little bit more athletic as far as going up and getting those, making those plays because of his high jumping ability. But then again, Awuzie, we've seen what happens to him sometimes when he has to play a taller guy. That ball goes to a high point and then he has trouble fighting it off the top. And so that's something to keep an eye on. You know, I mean, I have a feeling they're going to try and throw the ball up to these guys and see if they can make a play or two that way. You know, KT watches that team every day. He lives that team every single day. I would trust his evaluation on that, you know, but I do feel like you have to be worried about the length of these two receivers.
My evaluation was that the Packers are in trouble if Adams doesn't play. But Broadus brought up the point. These guys are tall, and I didn't even think about the Devontae Parker play. Mm-hmm. I didn't even really think about historically bigger wide receivers giving the Cowboys problems.
Kavanaugh was talking about that with Cheeto after that Dolphins
game. That was very interesting. Yeah. So
that's
something
Chris Richard's biggest fear, dude.
Yeah,
that's why he hates small corners.
Yeah, I can't put Jordan Lewis out there or whatever. And then Jimmy Graham was risen from the dead. I mean, he had done nothing, but last week, 6 catches, 61 yards. Red zone, his job is to rebound. Like, he's a box out guy.
Sometimes it seems like he tries too hard to have the one-handed catch.
He needs to, yes, he does.
Like he'll have one hand just not involved even trying to catch the ball.
I swear to God, he cares more about flying airplanes and landing them in water. He flies those water planes.
He does?
Is that right?
That's all he cares about. Romo's golf is his flying water planes.
You can't get him on the phone anymore.
You just can't even talk to Jimmy Graham ever.
Are we talking water planes or pontoon boats?
No, pontoon boats are the big party boats.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, not like a cruise ship, but like a, you know, big party boat. Those are great. I mean, they're slow. They're not exciting if you're a kid, but if you're an adult and can have alcoholic beverages, that's great. Mm-hmm. You guys interested in the Joker at all?
Yes. Very interested in the joke. When is that hitting theaters? Is it out yet?
I think it came out last night or tonight.
Is there, there's a fan screening of it this Saturday.
Fan screening is Saturday. I think we're all, I don't think, sign up for that now. But
oh, is it all booked up?
But 4 o'clock Saturday, I'm going to go watch The Joker.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to see The Joker this weekend.
I've settled into a nice movie-going thing with my oldest boy, Max. He loves going to see movies. And so I went and saw a movie that I didn't want to see with him. I went and saw It, too.
Oh.
It sucked.
Yeah, it sounds like it was going to be bad.
What about the have y'all seen the stuff for Ad Astra?
I heard it was terrible.
What's the story? Is that Brad Pitt?
So yeah. The person that said it was terrible is a huge sci-fi buff.
Give me the name.
I'll give you the name off air because I don't want to blow up his spot. But
probably one of those movie snobs you hang out with.
No, he is a sci-fi buff, like reads sci-fi novels.
Sounds like a movie snob you hang out with.
And
I'm not looking for a sci-fi movie. I'm looking for a good space action.
He said it was good space action.
Like Emmanuel in space?
He said it was.
Yeah.
Dogs,
so it's not a Brad Pitt porn?
No, he said it was trash.
Did Tommy Lee Jones ruin the movie?
Why? What did he say?
He said, in fact, he said he had trouble even staying in the theater.
Oh,
so
my God.
And he hated the great movie Arrival, too?
He loved Arrival.
Okay, Arrival was good.
Yeah, we had a deep conversation about that and how the second Blade Runner was a perfect fit. He's a sci-fi guy, and he thought it was bad, and he was very disappointed because he wanted it to be good.
All these movies are nothing compared to El Camino next week. I can't wait.
What is El Camino? Oh, yeah, that's the Breaking Bad one. We got to watch the trailer.
Yeah, when are you guys ever going to watch the trailer?
We're going to get around to that next,
Kevin. I finally saw it yesterday because Kevin put it directly in front of my face while I was reading about the NBA. All right, coming up next, do you like Andy Reid? Let's talk about some of these great Andy Reid stories. They're amazing. We'll get into that next.
All right, Spin and Skin Show 105.3 The Fan, coming to you live from Pluckers in Addison. Stop by and see us. We're having a good time out here. I want to thank everybody for coming out today, including Shooter McSwaggin is in the house.
Oh, my God.
Ace is in the house.
That's incredible.
What is up? We got friends in the house. How's it going?
Yeah.
We got family in the house coming to see us out here, having a good time out here at Pluckers.
It's been a great lunch, hasn't it?
It has been a fantastic lunch. Now, we're getting reports of something on the interwebs that I don't know if this is current or if this happened last week.
Yeah,
but
it happened a couple days ago.
Okay, it happened a couple days ago. But, of course, any time that wild animals are loose and there's a tie-in to sports, we're all about it. And, of course, what's been going on with SMU, they make it into the top 25 in college football. They're 5-0, and now there are actual ponies running loose on the freeway here in the Metroplex. And
dude,
this apparently happened the other day. There is footage. Somebody was filming like right next to what appeared to be 4 or 5, maybe 6 ponies running in a lane and just staying in their lane right down the highway. And unfortunately, if you look it for this on Twitter and you search for it, you will find that this apparently ended. Is a couple of ponies died.
No.
Yeah.
For a minute, I thought it was the greatest marketing idea ever for SMU football, but that's sad.
Yes, I actually heard about this, now that you bring it up. This is over off 35. A trailer apparently opened up in the back, and a couple of horses, like you just said, got hit by cars.
It
35E in Inwood, and the trailer opened up, and 13 of them ran out on the road. So two were killed.
I think what you're talking about is a pony escape. Now, like they'd been plotting it. They finally figured out a way to escape and broke free.
See, I thought you were saying it was a horses in the back situation.
Well, there's the thing, though. They were in the back, but they got out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What's crazy about this, and I know it's a tragedy that two of them died, the 11 that made it through were actually seen hours later holding up the Comerica Bank building.
Are you serious?
So
wow.
They had money on their mind, I guess.
That's cray, bro.
But, you don't see stories like this, man. This is a horse of a different color.
It is definitely a different breed when it comes to a story like this.
All right. So, anyways, that caught our attention as people started sending it to us. And, of course, we immediately got distracted by it. We also are distracted by
it. It would behoove you to look up the video.
Okay. He's all right.
He's right. You need to pony up. And
I think this is the main story of the day.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so.
I'm chomping at the bit to get to something else.
You know, you're jumping all over my lines here. Can you just calm down for a second? All right, it's Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. All right, hey, let's get back into some footballing. Do you guys like Andy Reid?
Yeah, absolutely do. Awesome story yesterday at ESPN about Andy Reid. So did you guys know that he worked as a caterer on The Tonight Show?
What?
I did read that about him.
Back in the day.
And so he has some legendary thing where he told some guy off or something? What did he do?
He told John Wayne to, I don't know, like, John Wayne asked for more meatballs, and Andy's like, I can't get you anymore.
Man, John Wayne is a great porn star.
John Wayne.
Oh, Wayne, yep.
Yeah. So there's the Chiefs trainer said in this article that his mom, Andy Reid's mom, was a doctor, and his dad was like an artist. So he's kind of a creative genius with like an analytical mind as well from his mom being smart. So it's like in his blood. But they talked about there was a situation when they went to San Francisco State's where he started coaching, his first coaching job. And what part of what coaches had to do there is they had to sell hot dogs on the quad to raise money for the program. He said most coaches would be like, I'm not doing that. He said Andy Reid was the best hot dog salesman they ever had. So he coached there with Steve Mariucci, and him and Mariucci are buddies.
Uh-huh.
And so they both got hired in Green Bay, but back then, this is early 90s, this is before social media, you know, like it wasn't like big news. So they're staying in this crappy hotel because they're in Green Bay, and a fire alarm goes off. Well, Steve Mariucci runs out in the hall, and he says that he's in whitey tighties. He runs out in the hall, and he's like, all right, I guess, do we leave? What's happening? And he said, Andy Reid is also in whitey tighties, pokes his head around the corner, and is like, hey, you got hired here too? And they go and they hug, and the fire alarm's going off. And they both had their wives there, and their wives come out because they're all old friends from their old coaching job. Oh, and they're all hugging. Meanwhile, Andy Reid, big old Andy Reid, and Steve Mariucci are just in their whitey tighties.
I think they're called tidy whiteys.
Tidy whiteys, yeah, and they're embracing.
The funniest thing I've ever seen in my life is the Andy Reid punt pass kick competition.
Oh, it's amazing.
Where he's five times bigger than the next kid. And he's wearing like clothes that are too small for him. And it's just, I think that even like he's wearing a helmet that's too small for his head. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
In the article, they detailed that he started driving when he was like 13 because he was so big that no one's going to stop him. And he was driving a little car, and his big old body was taking up the, it's almost like when Shaq would drive that little car, you know?
Yeah.
He was taking up so much room. Now, Mariucci was kind of the star of this article. He said one night they went to this bar, steakhouse called the Prime Quarter, and they both ordered a 40-ounce steak. And the bit was, if you can eat the steak in 30 minutes, they'll put your picture on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy Reid gets it down in 19 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Steve, Mariucci said he finished his off in 30 minutes, and their picture is still on the wall there.
Wow.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So incredible. When you do something like that, do you just straight eat it, or do you have a technique like those hot dog cats, you know, where they
I would think based on his size,
yeah,
that's a leisurely
it.
Stroll. I don't think he was having to like use water to get it to go down.
Maybe don't fill up with a side salad beforehand, you know.
Right.
Now there's a good story that Brett Favre had in this article as well. And this article, the reason it was published is because if Andy Reid wins this week, it's his 200th win.
Okay.
And you end up learning that everyone loves him. But Favre had a story that they had this at practice. They had this, like, chain crew at practice. And Brett says the same guys for years. He said Andy's walking around up and down the sidelines, and he was the quarterback coach. And basically the cord caught on his headset, and he yells at the guy on the chain, and he goes, hey, get off the cord, fat ass. And the chain guy goes, hey, who you calling a fat ass? It's so funny. A fat ass calling another guy a fat ass. It's so funny.
That's free license.
Right?
That's fun.
So I think it's one of my favorite lines of the article is like, very rarely do you get a resurrection coach. Holmgren going to Green Bay, McVay going to the Rams. He said Andy Reid to Philly was a resurrection coach. But didn't have Andy Reid, that would have been a bad thing. Mm-hmm. He was the one, they were going to draft Ricky Williams, but he was like, no, we have to take Donovan McNabb. He said if they had the number one pick, they would have taken Donovan McNabb. The GM even said it. He was like, Andy made that pick. I did not. Andy was saying, I can win with Donovan McNabb.
Wow.
Let's do it. And sure enough, they won a ton of games. And I like that. I think that's a great thing. And then sure enough, Pat Mahomes. I mean, that was Andy Reid's doing.
So he was the quarterback coach in Green Bay, too, right?
Yes. And he had Favre, and he had Kurt Warner, and he had all those guys.
Yeah.
Martin Brunel, I mean, you name it. He had a ton of those guys down there.
He definitely
Doug Peterson.
Yeah, he can tell quarterback talent, man.
So this was a story from the trainer as well. He said they were 1-5 in 2015, and everyone's down in the dirt. It was a tough loss. He said Andy, after the game, walks in calmly and goes, "Look, everyone, no one's losing their job. No one's getting fired. No one's getting demoted. We're going to practice better this week. We're going to get it together." And everyone was like, what? They thought they were about to get yelled at or something. They reel off 10 straight and go 11-5.
God, okay? Love it.
And the whole story in this article, it's great. Maybe I'll tweet out a link here in a minute. They make a note of LeSean McCoy taking less money to go to the Chiefs because of him. But Pat Mahomes talks glowingly of him, too, talking about their meetings together.
This Mahomes quote stood out to me. He said about Reed, he listens and he understands what each QB is good at and what each QB needs to improve on. He doesn't put the QB in a bad situation. No matter who the quarterback is, no matter what his skill set is, he designs the offense around that. That's different than what a lot of other coaches do. They run their offense and insert the quarterback into it. And, you know, he built an entire scheme around what Mahomes is good at doing, which is why Mahomes has thrived. And I couldn't help but think about Dak Prescott in that regard. Dak was running Tony Romo's offense early on.
Yeah.
It's kind of what he was doing, although he's a totally different quarterback. And, you know, that little lob throw in the end zone, that's not what he does well. That's something that Dez and Romo did really well. And he's got a lot of different qualities and skills that are different than Romo. And now this year, at least in the first three games, you're starting to see a scheme that kind of had some RPOs in it. And it was built around kind of some of the unique skill set that Dak has. And I think that's a breath of fresh air. So I immediately thought of Dak when I read that Mahomes quote.
That whole article is so good. They talk about the game planning that they do with Mahomes. They talk about last year in the playoff game when Dee Ford jumped off sides. And Andy Reid was very awesome with him, basically saying, hey, we've all been 4 inches off at some point in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the whole team's going. And the point of the article, they talked about his son dying.
Right.
And all of that. But the whole point of the
article. Was that a drug overdose?
It was a heroin overdose.
Yeah, okay.
But the whole point of the article was that. But it wasn't something like he worked with for the team
right.
at the time.
Right.
But the whole point of the article was he's been in this league for however many years. He doesn't have a single enemy. And everyone loves Andy Reid, and I'm finding myself pulling for Andy Reid and the Chiefs a little bit now. It was really cool read.
Wasn't DeSean Jackson just loved him?
Yes.
Like, that was the one
T.O.
guy.
T.O. even sought him out, and he got T.O. in Philadelphia. T.O. sought him out to go meet with him recently.
Wow.
Who would you guys rather face in the Super Bowl, since the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl? Would you rather face the Chiefs or the Patriots?
If they're both at, like, full power?
Yep.
I think I'd rather face New England.
Chiefs.
Just so you don't have to go up against Brady and Belichick.
What's Bill going to do, you know? It's all about Bill.
Yeah, no, I get all that. I just think the Chiefs are better, and I think they're harder to stop at this point.
We have time for this real quick, guys. This Coach O story that also came out, another story about a hefty head coach. They're talking about his pregame speeches. They got 12 former players come in and start telling stories of his pregame speeches. Here's what one guy said. He goes, I'm sitting there thinking, like, what's about to happen? And then you're like, okay. F it. This is awesome. He starts beating on his chest sometimes. He does all kinds of different stuff. There's all kinds of different things. I'm just going to read this. This is different players. One guy goes, did you hear about the time he knocked his tooth out? The next guy is the kicker. He goes, have you ever heard the Red Bull story? Basically, he smashes a Red Bull on his head. The next thing he goes, another thing he does, he does this thing before each game, and he gets the players up, and he's like, get your fist up. Are you ready to fight? And you can't understand him because he's Cajun. And then he punches himself right in the face. They said, like, every
Coach O
game.
Does?
Yes, every game. And you're like, holy crap.
And
I couldn't have taken that punch.
And he talks crazy.
Yes. One time, he got a Red Bull, and then he stands up on a chair, okay? Okay, and then he sets the Red Bull down, and he rips his shirt off like he's the Hulk. And he's screaming and doing all this Cajun stuff, right? Then he picks up the Red Bull, smashes it, grabs another Red Bull, cranks it open, shotguns it, all right? And then smashes the can on his head. Steps down, picks up the chair, and smashes it. He goes, and the players are like, it never feels fake. It's always genuine.
Wait.
And we've never been more amped up than that moment right before a game. He said he'll do that sometimes for, like, the morning games, the 11 a.m. starts, or you're trying to wake up. And the team is so hype at 10:55. because
oh my god,
it's so good, man.
I can't even understand what he says when he talks.
No, you can't.
I mean, it's impossible. So if you can't understand what he's saying, and he's just doing all these wrestling things and smashing tables and cracking, you know, beers up against his head or whatever. What is his specialty? Like, is he like is he a drawn up game plans
he's
and schemes?
Guy.
Is he a genius?
He's a defensive guy, yeah. But he lets the defensive coordinator handle it. Though.
Okay, so he's the motivational guy.
He's the manager guy, game manager guy. He can recruit a little bit too.
I bet.
But he's talking about one thing that they were talking about. There was a story basically where they were watching tape. And they were working on this play, I guess, where the kicker would do the onside kick where you kick it to yourself and then you recover it. So the kicker's still there. Normally we're watching film, and he's like, I'm not used to him addressing me, you know, because it's the kicker, right? And he goes, well, I don't know why. And the kicker doesn't respond. He's like, you're learning me, boy. So another guy is like, nudges the kicker, and he's like, hey, he's talking to you. And the kicker's like, oh, wait, that's what one. Because no one knows. Right. I mean, all these players talk about, you never really know what he's saying.
Right.
Like, they don't understand what the hell he's saying.
So that's extra confusing if he never talks to you, so you're not expecting him to grunt at you, and then he's grunting directly at you, and you got to rely on the recruits that are from that area to let you know what he's saying and saying to you.
And is that this year's kicker?
No, that was kicker from the past.
Okay. Yeah, this year's kicker out there is Cade York. Now he's from Prosper.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Prosper Zone. And by the way, we have a showdown. We've mentioned it. We have Prosper versus Allen. It's going to be November 1st.
That's huge.
Half beard bet.
Your kids go to Allen. My kids go to Prosper. We got to put some sort of a bet on that game.
They can fight.
Based on the fast food thing earlier, whoever loses has to go to a Chick-fil-A and pretend like they're taking orders.
No, that'd be bad.
I kind of like that.
What's the Prosper?
Get arrested.
What's the Prosper mascot?
Eagles.
What's the Allen?
Eagles.
They're both Eagles.
Oh,
it's an Eagle showdown.
How about we do this? Whichever team loses can no longer use the Eagles as their mascot. Let's see if we can get that.
Oh
push
yeah,
through.
That's great.
Get both school districts to sign off on it.
I got a lot of pull there. I'm sure that'll happen.
Okay, no.
Change their name to the Allen Kylers.
You have to commit the crime of kidnapping a bald eagle.
Oh my God,
yeah,
sir!
No! Let's up the ante. You got to shoot one.
What is wrong with you? That is a felony. Say that.
Why would you say that? Dude, the CIA will hear you say that.
I would gently sneak up to a bald eagle and give it a comb over.
Hey. Oh yeah, you got to put a wig on a bald eagle.
The loser of the bet has to go to the zoo.
Well, that's a treat. What are you talking about?
It's a pleasure today.
To go to the zoo.
I've been a couple times recently.
It's not doing well.
I'm more of an aquarium guy.
What about, whoever loses, Shippy's got to finally wear that Coyote uniform.
Ooh, fire in the hole, plucker wing.
Sir, oh, my God.
You got to eat a fire in the hole wing.
Oh, God, I thought you were cussing for
me.
No. Yeah. It was shocking, wasn't it?
That's one of the times you definitely want to say wing.
Would you guys eat a hot wing?
Guys, sure. That is the worst question you've ever asked. Would you guys eat a hot wing? Kevin Turner.
Fire in the hole, though.
Yeah, fire in the hole.
It's a pretty good bet.
It's a good bet.
KT's just loading up with his own ammo for a future drop interview right now.
All right, coming up next.
I don't think those will be happening.
Let's talk about Jared Goff's tiny hands, and then we'll mix with the G-Bag Nation. All that coming up next, live from Pluckers in Addison.